When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Why is this crucial smoking gun evidence being disregarded? This evidence, if the media was doing their job, should frame the entire discussion, all reporting about how the Israeli army is operating in Gaza. Whether it be this week, the slaughter of 7 aid workers, whether it be the butchery of tens of thousands of Palestinians, or the wiping of much of Gaza off the face of the earth, the famine now enveloping Gaza, IDF soldiers repeatedly posting their war crimes loudly and proudly, and triumphantly celebrating the mass destruction of Gaza as comic fodder for public amusement on the likes of TikTok. You name it, I could go on. Yesterday on social media, I challenged the Daily Telegraph's global health security editor about a piece that he had written entitled, "What Happened to Israel's Rules of Engagement?" Now, to be clear, this wasn't a puff piece he'd written for Israel. It detailed terrible crimes committed by the Israeli state, such as he rightly describes, horrific video footage emerged from a captured Israeli drone showing four young Palestinian men, none of them armed or posing any obvious threat, killed while casually strolling on wasteland by a series of Israel Defense Forces, IDF, drone strike. I personally watched the footage, by the way, and it was absolutely horrific, like so much of the footage of the crimes I've seen committed by the Israeli state against the Palestinian people in Gaza and beyond. Now, the journalist also mentions how in January, quite correctly he mentions, two members of an Al Jazeera crew were killed by the IDF when they conducted a targeted strike on a car with no plausible immediate threat posed to the IDF. He also notes Israeli hostages, those three Israeli hostages who were gunned down whilst waving white flags as they shouted in Hebrew. Itself, like the latest slaughter of foreign aid workers who coordinated their movements with the Israeli military, underlining that Palestinian civilians in Gaza don't stand a chance. Now, the journalist in question asks, so what is going wrong? Why are so many innocent people being killed by the IDF using targeted weapon systems? He then says critics point to two overlapping factors, poorly defined rules of engagement and a culture of impunity that has been allowed to spread among IDF commanders on the ground. Now, he says that the IDF chief of staff, or the claims, has repeatedly tried to rein in his staff, but has been undermined by politicians who dehumanise Palestinians in Israel and defend and even praise IDF and police successes. The journalist notes a Haaretz article which found the Israeli army had created kill zones where anyone who crosses into them is shot, thereby rubbishing official Israeli claims that 9,000 terrorists have been killed since October because the Israeli state shoots so many civilians and then claims after the event that they're terrorists. So that 9,000 out of 40,000 or so who are supposedly Hamas terrorists is a bogus figure. He notes how the IDF investigates itself, and when Palestinians are killed, issues only retrospective assertions of blame with little evidence to support them. He also goes on to say that when journalists were killed, Israel altered its story repeatedly after the event, then eventually alleged two had been members of a terrorist organisation at some point, with a document produced by the IDF to prove this false claim, was riddled with inconsistencies, which when challenged, the IDF refused to explain. Now, you may reasonably ask, why the hell would I challenge this journalist? You'd read this article and conclude he's challenged the Israeli narrative far better than many journalists and clearly established they are committing war crimes. That's the conclusion you come to if you read that article. Because it's missing absolutely fundamental pieces of evidence which should frame all coverage of the IDF. And that's what I want to talk about. Because this underlines one of the great journalistic scandals of our time. Number one piece of evidence. 9th of October, the Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant publicly declared that Israel was imposing a complete siege on Gaza. No electricity, no food, no water, no fuel. Everything is closed. And he justified it with the overtly genocidal language. We are fighting human animals and we are acting accordingly. For those who then, in bad faith, go, oh, he means Hamas, human animals. He's talking about cutting off all of the essentials of life to an entire civilian population. What he said there wasn't hidden away in a document somewhere. He said it literally on camera, in front of the entire world's media. Why does this matter? Because the guy in charge of the Israeli military, who is one of three members of Israel's war cabinet, made it clear that Israel was going to starve Gaza and deprive its people of all of the essentials of life. Which not only explains why, as the Foreign Secretary David Cameron recently detailed, Israel has gone to vast lengths to stop aid from getting in, using every possible ruse to delay it getting in, ensuring there aren't enough land routes, letting deranged Israeli protesters block it getting in, whilst also making it impossible to get around in Gaza to the people who need it. Destroying roads doesn't help, does it? As well as all the checkpoints, waging war on UNRWA, the main humanitarian agency massacring aid workers, killing police officers charged with protecting aid trucks in defiance of even the Biden administration, all while destroying local food production agriculture. Doesn't just explain that. I would say that the official policy of mass starvation, which was openly declared from the very start, is pretty relevant to a discussion about why the Israeli state deliberately struck an aid convoy, not once, not twice, but three times, as the survivors desperately moved from vehicle to vehicle, as the Israeli military hunted them down until every single one of them was dead, with multiple aid agencies subsequently concluding they could not protect the lives of their staff quite rationally and therefore suspending their operations while aid ships were turned away back to Cyprus, ensuring starvation, more starvation. That's the consequence. So why isn't what the Israeli Defence Minister said front and centre of this discussion, this coverage? It gets worse. Oh, it gets worse. 10th of October, let's go back then. Yoav Gallant, again, Defence Minister, told Israeli troops on the Gaza border that he had, quotes unquote, released all the restraints. He also declared, Gaza won't return to what it was before. We will eliminate everything. If it doesn't take one day, it will take a week, it will take weeks or even months. We will reach all places. On the 12th of October, Yoav Gallant, Defence Minister, member of the War Cabinet, declared Israel was moving to a full-scale response and that he had removed every restriction. Let's quote that again. He said he had removed every restriction on Israeli forces. What did he publicly tell the world in all these statements? It isn't subtle. We're not reading between the lines. We're not relying on anonymous officials. We're not relying on leaked documents. We're listening to the public statements of the man who runs the Israeli so-called war effort, in practice, a genocidal onslaught. He told us that Israel was going to destroy Gaza. I think Gaza won't return to what it was before. We will destroy everything. Covers destroying Gaza. Guess what? He wasn't bluffing. The Israeli state has destroyed or severely damaged most of Gaza, dropping the equivalent of several nuclear bombs on an area the size of East London, and that is before a proposed invasion of Rafah, that is, with even more damage to come. And they are still attacking targets all across Gaza. He also made it clear by saying he'd released all restraints on Israeli troops and removed every restriction on Israeli forces, that he was giving the Israeli army total impunity to do as it wished. What other interpretation is there of his comments? He said those words. Unambiguously, he left no room for ambiguity, none for misinterpretation. All you had to do from the very start is listen to what Israeli leaders and officials said. That's what I did. I'm not a genius. I'm not a prophet. I didn't have any special unique insight. All I did is take Israeli leaders at their word. I believed them when they said what they were going to do. And they went on to do to Gaza exactly what they promised, to the letter. They starved the population, leading to famine and the fastest collapse in the nutritional status of a population ever recorded. They razed Gaza to the ground. They let Israeli soldiers do exactly as they wished with no consequences. That's why in October, I penned a column for The Guardian entitled, Israel is clear about its intentions in Gaza. World leaders cannot plead ignorance of what is coming. That headline entirely reflected the point of that article. Why did I write it? It was a marker. Because I knew as the scale of the entirely promised calamity became so obscene, so nauseating, so repellent, except to the most sociopathic in our midst, who it turns out do exist, a lot of cheerleaders of this atrocity would go, oh no, what's happened? This is awful. What on earth is Israel doing? I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. You see, you people have no excuse. None, literally zero. I've read out a fraction, by the way, a fraction of the statements issued by Israeli leaders and officials. It is unbelievably rare for a state determined to commit an atrocity of this scale to be so open and honest and frank about it from the very start. Exceptionally rare. And that is why I am so frustrated with what superficially seems like a completely reasonable Telegraph article, where you might expect me to go, well, even though it's the Telegraph, well done, solid journalism, Israel being held to account. Where are the quotes from the Minister of Defence from day one explaining what Israel was going to do? He's in charge of the army. He sets the rules. He said clearly Gaza was going to be starved, not just starved, all the essentials of life stopped. He said they were going to destroy Gaza. And he said very clearly he's removing all restraints and restrictions on the IDF. Pretty relevant when discussing rules of engagement, I'd say. What we are talking about, in general, is one of the most scandalous episodes in the history of Western journalism. Entirely deliberate, by the way. I'm not suggesting this was an accident. And that is saying something. From the very start, all discussion about Israel's onslaught against Gaza should have been framed, if we had a functioning media, around what Israeli leaders and officials said and promised. But that didn't happen. It's like we've lived in a parallel universe where those pronouncements are just ignored, like they're irrelevant, like they were just hyperbole, maybe. Maybe they were just letting off some steam. Rather than being literally the Israeli state very clearly saying what they were going to do. And we're treated to, at best, a debate about whether Israel's so-called military response is proportionate or not, where we can agree to disagree. As the genocidal frenzy, which was explicitly promised from the start, slaughters the Palestinians of Gaza. We really could go on, by the way. Honestly, as I've said, a fraction. This is a fraction. I'm just talking about the Minister of Defence because he's in charge of the army. Pretty relevant. Let's take Yoav Eiland. He's an Israeli general, the former head of the Israeli National Security Council and an advisor to the Defence Minister. When I read out some of these quotes, I think some of you are going to go, come on, he didn't really say that. That's too extreme. That's like so fanatical and deranged and unhinged. Like it wouldn't make it into a film about some sort of horror because it would be seen as too one-dimensionally evil. Bad luck. This is real. You're not in a film. This is real. He backed Israel's siege at the very start. Do you know what he said, though? He said it's not enough. In order to make the siege effective, we have to prevent others from giving assistance to Gaza.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
What was that he said there, General? Advisor to the Defence Minister? Former head of Israel's National Security Council? Should we just focus on what you said there? We have to prevent others from giving assistance to Gaza. You don't need to be a conspiracy theorist, do you? Process those words when considering the World Central Kitchen Massacre and the slaughter of around 200 aid workers. He goes on, the people should be told that they have two choices, to stay and to starve or to leave. If Egypt and other countries prefer that these people will perish in Gaza, this is their choice. Oh, real charmer, this guy, isn't he? By the way, believe it or not, this guy is regarded as a relatively moderate person in Israel. So that's the point, a deliberate strategy of starvation to drive the Palestinian population out from the horse's mouth to make life so impossible that Palestinians die en masse except for those who somehow make it out. Genocide. I mean, that's why it's in the South Africa's case, as I'll go through. These are all in South Africa's case against Israel in the International Court of Justice. In other interviews, he said, a country can be attacked in a much broader way to bring the country to the brink of dysfunction. This is the necessary outcome of events in Gaza. Really helpful, this guy, just putting it all on record. He then said that Israel has no interest in the Gaza Strip being rehabilitated, and this is an important point that needs to be made clear to the Americans. He also said that if we ever want to see the hostages alive, the only way is to create a severe humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Honestly, if you don't believe me, just Google this. You're shocked because you're thinking, why isn't this just all over the media? Yeah, well, it's time to ask some searching questions, I would say, about the media if this is maybe a surprise. He goes on to say that water should be targeted, noting that water in Gaza comes from wells with salt water unfit for consumption. They have water treatment plants. Israel should hit those plants. When the entire world says, we've gone insane, this is a humanitarian disaster, we will say it's not an end, it's a means. He's declared the state of Israel has no choice but to make Gaza a place that is temporarily or permanently impossible to live in. He denounced the idea that there are poor women in Gaza, as in innocent women, because they are all the mothers, sisters or wives of Hamas murderers. This was, as I say, all cited in South Africa's case, alleging genocide at the ICJ. For good reason, you're listening to very overt genocidal language. Now, the failure of Western media outlets and politicians to frame the conduct of the war around what Israeli leaders and officials said and promised is an act of unforgivable deceit. You were lied to. Lies by omission are lies. You were sold a narrative which was false. We can all see listening to what Israeli leaders and officials said was a perfectly reliable guide to predict what would happen to Gaza, as has happened. Now, just this week, the Guardian newspaper reported speaking to 9 doctors, all but one foreign volunteers, who reported treating a steady stream of children, elderly people and others who were clearly not combatants with single bullet wounds to the head or chest. These doctors added the types and locations of the wounds and accounts of Palestinians who brought children to the hospital led them to believe the victims were directly targeted by Israeli troops, deliberately shooting children in the head and the chest to kill them. This is corroborated by the testimony of a Canadian doctor back in mid-February who told the Los Angeles Times of children aged between 5 and 8 being carried to the emergency room by their parents. All had single sniper shots to the head. Children, kids, aged between 5 and 8, deliberately shot in the head by Israeli snipers. This was inevitable. Based on what Israeli leaders and officials and media outlets have said and promised from the start, including those who went on Israeli television calling for children to be targeted on the grounds that they would grow up as terrorists. This brings me to the killing of the World Central Kitchen aid workers. 200 aid workers, overwhelmingly Palestinians, butchered, barely a murmur. But killing Westerners? Well, hold on a minute, a line's crossed there. And that's not to belittle the horror of what's happened. All of their loved ones are grieving over a terrible crime committed against them. But it should not take the blood of Westerners being spilled to prove Israel is on the rampage committing some of the worst atrocities of the 21st century. Here's what we know. World Central Kitchen, supposedly there to fill the vacuum left by UNRWA, the main humanitarian agency in Gaza, which Israel has sought to liquidate through unevidenced smears and the mass slaughter of its staff, was working hand in glove with the IDF. In this case, they offered their coordinates to the Israeli military in an area designated as de-conflicted, that is free of conflict. They were travelling in clearly marked humanitarian vehicles inscribed in big letters with World Central Kitchen. They were accompanied with 3 former British soldiers working as security guards, a crucial detail because the supposed justification for wiping out this aid convoy is that a terrorist was possibly present, as though these former soldiers were just accidentally travelling with a terrorist. Turns out, no such terrorist was present because whoever they are, if they even exist, they weren't even in the convoy. What happened is a drone using very precisely targeted missiles hit the first car. As the injured and, I would say, deeply traumatised at this point survivors desperately scrambled to a second car, another precisely targeted missile hit them. And then, after their final journey to a third car, another precisely targeted missile hit them, killing all of them. They were chased from car to car, all of this happening over a distance of around 1.5 kilometres, until every last one was dead. As the Telegraph reports, according to unnamed Israeli security sources who briefed the local media, they were dropped, these missiles, in succession from a Hermes 450 drone with sophisticated night sights and deliberately guided down onto the three clearly marked humanitarian vehicles travelling below. Even though the drone pilots would have both the authority and technical means to swerve the bombs away until the very last moment, they chose not to. It is technically impossible for that to be a mistake. That is a clearly, deliberately targeted attack. Are we seriously suggesting for 1 second that after three, during the course of three strikes, they didn't know what they were doing, even though they could see who they were targeting? Wait for the latest explanation. IDF sources have told Israeli newspaper Haaretz that the bombing of the convoy was not a communication mishap, but commanders and units in the field ignoring instructions and disobeying orders. Sorry, what exactly is the claim here? That the IDF, far from presenting itself as one of the most sophisticated and modern armies on earth, is just a ragtag collection of warlords doing exactly what they want? If it's true that some form of mutiny happened here in the army in order, in this case, to specifically just wipe out an entire aid convoy, the Israeli army is going to have to immediately arrest and charge them all with the gravest of crimes. I suppose that will happen any second now, won't it? You see, this really is the time for Occam's razor to shine, which is that the Israeli state made it clear from the start it was going to starve Gaza's population. It was going to reduce Gaza to ruin. It was going to allow Israeli soldiers to have total impunity. And when you're looking for explanations as to why an aid convoy coordinated with the Israeli military in a deconflicted zone on a pre-approved route manned by former British soldiers was targeted, that is what you have to look at. The failure, the refusal to frame the coverage of what has happened to Gaza based on what was promised from the start is a scandal. And that should tell you everything you need to know about the way, with courageous exceptions, the British media, the Western media operates, because they didn't tell you the truth. They lied to you. And when you look at the horrors now being inflicted, there's your answer. Please like and subscribe. Do share this video. Would love to hear your comments. Keep the show on the road on patreon.com/owenjones84. Listen to us on podcast. I'll speak to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.